We're waiting now to see what the next development will be. And this is not entirely a rigid thing. Oh, Cardinal Cushing is now standing, and he is vested in a rochet. And he is just being handed a censer, a thurible, which contains the burning charcoal. And, correction, he's just putting on his Episcopal cross. And taking a stole, which is the vestment worn around the shoulders, which is like a scarf, which is symbolic of the authority of the priesthood, and is also being given a cope to wear, a cape, a large cape to wear. And he will then move down to the bier and give the final absolution here at St. Patrick's. The cardinal is now taking a white mitre, which is being handed to him, which he will put on his head. That's the one that has the two peaks. And wearing this blue and gold cope, will now move down to the bier. These are very old and very ancient prayers which we are just about to hear from Cardinal Cushing, who, of course, is a long friend of long standing of the county family.
I am the soul of Robert Francis Kennedy, lived in this world, O Lord. You marked it with the special sign of Christian life. Those who have felt the effect of this life humbly pray you to grant him mercy and peace everlasting.
I am the resurrection and the life.
He who believes in me, even if he dies, shall live.
And whoever lives and believes in me, shall never die.
Happy the man who follows not the counsel of the wicked,
nor walks in the way of sinners, nor sits in the company of the insolent,
but delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on his law day and night.
He, like a tree planted near running water,
that yields its fruit in due season and whose leaves never fade.
Whatever he does prospers.
Not so the wicked, not so. They are like chaff which the wind drives away.
Therefore in judgment the wicked shall not stand, nor shall sit in the assembly of the just.
For the Lord watches over the way of the just, but the way of the wicked vanishes.
I am the resurrection and the life.
He who believes in me, even though he dies, shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me, shall never die. Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Our Father.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Cardinal Cushing has now taken the aspergillum and is sprinkling the coffin of Robert Kennedy with holy water and reciting some prayers as he walks alongside of the flag-draped coffin. Then he bows to the congregation and moves over to the other side and continues sprinkling this coffin, this bier, with holy water. It's a blessing that the church gives the remains of a person for whom the funeral mass has just been said and the person about to be buried. And the same procedure follows with the cardinal using a thurible with the incense in it and moving along either side of the coffin, incensing the coffin, and the incense rising as a symbol of the prayers that are offered in behalf of Senator Robert Kennedy. the cardinal now has come back to a position away from the bier, and he is about to read again.
Lord, hear my prayer.
And bless my cry from
the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. May the angels take you into paradise. May the martyrs come to welcome you on your way and lead you into the holy city, Jerusalem. May the choir of angels welcome you. And with Lazarus, who was once a poor, may you have everlasting rest. Through Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with God the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. O God, the Creator and Redeemer of all the faithful, hear our supplications, and through thy infinite love and mercy, graciously grant to the soul of your servant departed the remission of all sins, by which he may have deserved the severity of your justice and punishments in the world to come. Grant to him grace and mercy before your tribunal, and let him attain to everlasting rest and happiness through the infinite merits of Jesus Christ. Amen. O God, great and omnipotent judge of the living and the dead, before whom we are all to appear after this short life to render an account of our works, let our hearts, we pray you, be deeply moved at this sight of death, while we consign the body of the deceased to the earth. Let us be mindful of our own frailty and mortality, that walking always in your fear and in the ways of your commandments, we may, after our departure from this world, experience a merciful judgment and rejoice in everlasting happiness through Christ our Lord. Amen. Eternal rest grant to him, O Lord. May he rest in peace. May his soul and the souls of all the faithful departed rest in peace.
Cardinal Cushing has concluded the absolution. The mitre is now being placed back on his head, and there now will be a recessional from the cathedral. And I think hardly anyone listening can fail to remember the stark parallel, so many instances of parallel between this funeral and the funeral of the late President Kennedy, when Cardinal Cushing also pronounced the absolution in that memorable voice of his.
We would appreciate all other guests.
And there are some announcements being made now about members of the congregation staying in their place as the recessional is about to form and about to leave the cathedral.
Kindly remain seated until the procession leaves the church by the center aisle.
This is CBS News in New York. We are bringing you the final part of the services for Senator Kennedy inside St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City. Here again is Maury Robinson.
We're hearing some singing now as the procession gets ready to form, and this may take a bit of time because in addition to the ecclesiastical dignitaries who took part in the processional coming into the church, that is to say Archbishop Cook, the cardinals who are present, Cardinal Cushing, Cardinal Dell'Acqua, and many others, there will be also be the question of putting together a number of the ushers.
President and Mrs. Johnson are leaving. They have just shaken the hands of Ethel Kennedy, Senator Edward Kennedy, and other members of the family.
I'm sure that's a security measure to get the president out of there first.
Very probably.
Mr. Johnson is moving down the aisle now and also is speaking just a word or two, he and Mrs. Johnson, to other members of the family. And now they're being taken out a side door, or rather I should say toward the back of the church, and quite a number of Secret Service men around them, as one might expect.
As it gets
and the other people are the Archbishop Cook, together with a number of the visiting bishops, are now making their way across the sanctuary. They're being led by one of the officers of the Mass. Some of these are bishops from other denominations than the Roman Catholic. Some of them are Eastern Orthodox, and as they move across the sanctuary, they're now coming down the steps and coming down to the bier itself. And the choir continues singing, and this procession will then move on its way out, and in all probability, the pallbearers will soon take their position, if indeed they already have not done so. It might be interesting to some people to know that this question of logistics at a pontifical mass, whether it's a mass of requiem or some other occasions, are very, very complicated indeed, so much so that at a place like St. Patrick's Cathedral, they not only have a master of ceremonies, but an assistant master of ceremonies.
He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on.
stirring, moving rendition of the Battle Hymn of the Republic. As Maury Robinson points out, many people forget that what was thought and labeled as a patriotic song was really a hymn. The lead voice in that was by Andy Williams, by the way, one of Senator Kennedy's closest friends.
The pallbearers have gathered around the coffin now, and they've just lifted it up, and they are now beginning to move. In just a moment, now they're beginning to move back to the back of the church. Doug, you probably recognize some of the pallbearers. Astronaut John Glenn, Douglas Dillon, I believe, is there. Lord Harlech, yes, the Ormsby Gore, who's a friend of the Kennedys, former ambassador from Great Britain. Senator Edward Kennedy himself.
Senator Edward Kennedy, the only surviving son, who has lost three brothers in the service of his country, spoke today. He said, "We loved him as a father, as a brother, and as a son." Love is not an easy feeling to get into words, he said, nor is loyalty, trust, or joy. He was all of these. He loved life intensely and enjoyed it always. The young Massachusetts senator described his brother as a good and a decent man. He said he saw wrong and tried to right it. He saw suffering and tried to stop it. He saw war and tried to end it. And at about that point, Edward Kennedy's voice broke, and he appeared to be at the verge of tears. For almost a minute, his voice continued to quiver. But then he regained his composure and he finished his talk. Quoting a passage on what life should mean to human beings, Edward recalled his brother's words. "What it all really adds up to is love," said Robert Kennedy. "The kind of love that is affection. Real love is something unselfish in the sacrifice of giving." And Edward Kennedy continued, quoting his slain brother, "There are people who are poor and need our help. We have a responsibility to them and to our country." Now the coffin has reached the great bronze gates of St. Patrick's, and we go now to Stuart Novins.
Here, just outside the main entrance, the coffin has stopped momentarily, flag draped, pallbearers slowly carrying it out. Pallbearers slowly moving down the stairs with the coffin now, still flag draped, the stars of the flag in the Catholic tradition over the head of the dead man. Very, very gently they move down. People all around on the sidewalks, held back by police, and silent, terribly silent, as this very mournful, very slow procession moves. The music from inside the church being broadcast over loudspeakers to all the people outside. Ted Kennedy walking out, his head lowered, his face grim almost. Restrained, perhaps, is a better word. Slowly, slowly, the entourage, the pallbearer, Senator Edward Kennedy moving behind, very close, the other members of the family there too, and they move toward the hearse. Gathered around now as the coffin is gently, gently placed into the back. The honorary pallbearers all there, Senator Edward Kennedy, Joseph B. Kennedy III, the 15-year-old boy, the eldest son of Robert Kennedy, John Glenn, the astronaut, Douglas Dillon, Averill Harriman, Lord Harlech, very close friend of the family, once ambassador from Britain to the United States, Maxwell Taylor, once retired chief of staff, Robert McNamara, the defense secretary. They stand quietly, the door to the hearse now being closed. Senator Kennedy striding toward one of the cars. Quietly. Now, Senator Kennedy and Mrs. Ethel Kennedy and the young Joseph P. Kennedy III, stopping momentarily There's a little conversation as the convoy, the motorcade, prepares to get underway to carry the body of Robert Kennedy from here to Pennsylvania Station and then to the train. Mrs. Kennedy, her head high, as it has been almost every moment in this terrible ordeal, this great emotional crisis that she's been going through. It's hard to find a word to describe her except perhaps proud, and I mean pride in a very personal sense, the sense of self-respect and respect for those who have come to pay their tributes to the late Senator Robert Kennedy. Loudspeakers, louder now than they were even during the mass, in a kind of triumphal wave, as if Robert Kennedy has now been returned finally to the bosom of his church in this cathedral in mid-Manhattan. Mrs. Jacqueline Kennedy is waiting momentarily now, being escorted to a car, and the hearse slowly moves off. Others in the party now getting into their cars, and that's the situation here now. There it is, Doug.
Stuart Dobins reporting from St. Patrick's. The hearse draws away with Mrs. Ethel Kennedy in the front seat. At this point, we leave St. Patrick's Cathedral. The Justice Department has just issued an important announcement. For that story, we go direct to the Justice Department and CBS News reporter Bob Gregory.
The Justice Department has announced that James Earl Ray, the accused assassin of Dr. Martin Luther King, has been arrested in London, England. According to FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover, Ray was picked up at 6:15 this morning Eastern Time in London by Scotland Yard. Hoover said that Ray, who has used the name of Eric Starvo Galt and other aliases, was traveling under the name of Raymond George Snade and had two Canadian passports in that name in his possession.
Moving rendition.
Hoover said that Ray was located based on information furnished by the FBI to Scotland Yard. At the time of his detention, Ray was passing through British immigration offices and was planning to take a flight to Brussels, Belgium. Hoover said that Ray is now being held at London's Cannon Row Police Station under maximum security conditions. Hoover said that Ray's arrest was the result of investigation by the FBI pursued in all 50 states, as well as in Canada, Mexico, Portugal, England, and other countries. Hoover said that Ray was detained in England based on his use of fraudulent documentation, a passport, and also on the fact that he was carrying a concealed weapon. There is no indication from the FBI when Ray will be returned to the United States. This is Bob Gregory, CBS News, at the Justice Department in Washington.
Back at CBS News headquarters in New York, as the cortege moves slowly down Fifth Avenue in the direction of Pennsylvania Station, a journey which will take probably 15 to 20 minutes, depending entirely, of course, on the speed. The casket then will be put aboard the 21-car flag-draped special train. The dignitaries will also be aboard, and the journey to Washington will begin. But now let's go back to St. Pat's and Stuart Novins.
It will be a long motorcade. It will be a solemn one. I don't mean long in terms of mileage, but long in terms of the number of cars. And it has now begun to move. With me is CBS News correspondent Morton Dean, who is inside during the mass. Tell us what you think now coming out.
Stu, there's very little to add to the ceremony itself. It was solemn, dignified, was simple in some respects, very moving.
Were you inside when the family came in?
Yes. That perhaps was the most tragic sight of all, seeing Mrs. Ethel Kennedy and Mrs. Rose Kennedy and the Kennedy children.
It's been remarkable, a kind of spiritual stamina, perhaps that's the way to describe it, with which the Kennedys have just survived this extraordinary series of terrible personal tragedies.
It certainly says something about one's faith in God, Stu. Cardinal Cushing said the other day, after holding a conversation with Mrs. Rose Kennedy, who has lost so many children in the past quarter century, he said that she believes in God and that she feels that God has love and that she is satisfied to leave everything in the hands of God. And this does show the traits of a remarkable woman.
Well, as you know, within the last 2 days since the body of the late Senator Kennedy was brought into this cathedral, Mrs. Rose Kennedy has frequently come in quietly, sometimes alone, has sat and prayed alone, or sometimes has asked for a special mass or special prayers. And obviously, this is a great anchor for Mrs. Kennedy as well as the other Kennedys.
Stu, I sat in this great cathedral with Charles DeRuth, who is the editor of the Catholic News, and we were discussing a moment or so ago that there were several rather unusual occurrences during this Mass. Charles, you were particularly struck by Senator Ted Kennedy's address prior to the beginning of the Mass, that this was quite unusual.
Yes, Mort, I don't recall ever having heard an address of this type in the cathedral or in another church under certain circumstances as this. Of course, it did precede the Mass, and as such was not essentially a part of the Mass. The Mass itself would be the same all the way through and not be interrupted at all.
Was it also unusual that communion was given in the body of the sanctuary itself rather than at the various altars around the side of the church?
Yes, Mort, I think that might be attributed today to the fact that there were so many people in the very tight security, as you know, in the cathedral, to expedite the faithful who receiving communion who might want to receive today. And as a result, the priest stood at the middle of an aisle somewhere and distributed a communion in order to help keep the timing on the Mass, too, I expect, as well as the security.
As you said, you had been covering religious events for many years here in the New York area, yet you had never seen anything like the outpouring of emotion that you saw during the past 24 hours.
I think not, Mort. This is, without a doubt, one of the most enormous, as you say, outpouring of emotional events that I have witnessed here. It was quite a vast occasion when His Eminence died, but of course there again was a totally different situation. His Eminence was a great and honored priest of the church. He died of natural causes in late years. These things we expect, but the shock of the assassination of Senator Kennedy, I think, has stirred many, many people to come here day and night. All last night, as you know, they were pouring through the cathedral as fast as they could get them in and out.
There is a tremendous crowd outside of St. Patrick's here, Stu.
At this moment, the motorcade has been halted temporarily to permit all of the party to get into their cars. The cars are stretched back at least 4 or 5 blocks on Fifth Avenue. And it would be assumed that they would start again very shortly. Well, Vice President Nixon just walked out of the church a moment ago, and he was, of course, only one of the more than 2,000 guests who were invited to the Mass. Officials in the government, former officials of the government, friends of the family, of course, and the diplomats from overseas.
Stu, I just wanted to briefly identify and thank Charles DeRuth of the Catholic News, the editor of the Catholic News, for talking with us for this moment. And that's the situation here at the moment. And now back to Douglas Edwards.
CBS News White House correspondent Robert Pierpoint has been at St. Patrick's Cathedral, where the president attended the solemn Mass for Senator Kennedy. Here is correspondent Pierpoint's report on the president.
President Johnson is now returning directly to Washington and the White House. He will not ride down with the funeral train, but will retrace his route of this morning, that is, motorcading from St. Patrick's Cathedral to Central Park, and then helicoptering to LaGuardia Airport. From LaGuardia, he will fly by jet back to Washington. with the president here today have been Mrs. Johnson, two special assistants, Joseph Califano and James Jones, and Dr. Berkley, the president's personal physician. President Johnson will attend this afternoon's interment at Arlington Cemetery. The president's role here today has been not unlike that of millions of other Americans, a mourner paying his personal tribute to a man he admired and respected. While Lyndon Johnson and Robert Kennedy did not always agree, their agreements were far more important than their occasional well-publicized disagreements. They shared a passionate desire to do what they could to improve the lives of human beings, not only Americans, but all peoples everywhere. The President and Senator Kennedy's disagreements invariably centered on how to achieve their agreed goals. Close associates to President Johnson have said that if Senator Kennedy had achieved the Democratic nomination, President Johnson would have campaigned for him as a fellow Democrat. This is probably true. Now, of course, we shall never know for sure. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News, with the presidential party.
As part of the tragic irony, we, of course, gave you the announcement just a few minutes ago that the accused man, the accused murderer of Reverend Martin Luther King, the man accused in that murder, was arrested this morning in London. The announcement was made by Attorney General Ramsey Clark. He said that James Earl Ray was taken into custody by Scotland Yard detectives at about 11:15 a.m. London time. That's about 5:15 a.m. New York time. Ray has been hunted for 65 days by police and the FBI.